Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Good.
And everybody else is silent. So we'll we'll say they're doing well, too. How's that? All right. For our listening audience here at Neighbors of Hope in our men's group, we've launched a new study of renowned author Henry Nouwen and Henry's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, where in the text Henry explores Luke chapter 15 on the story of the prodigal son, as well as his elder brother, in light of reflection upon Rembrandt's painting of The Return of the Prodigal Son. Henry sets the book up in three different parts. The first part reflects on the younger son. The second part reflects on the elder brother. The third part reflects upon the father. Having just launched this study, we're looking at the younger son. All right, so I thought maybe what we do is we just start with a section of scripture from that pericope on the prodigal son and his brother. All right, so that's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. I thought we'd look at verses 11 through 13. Right. Someone like to read that for me?
The younger one said to his father, "Father, let me have the share of the estate that will come to me." So the father divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son got together everything he had and left for a distant country.
That's it. That's kind of our section so far, all right, about the younger son. So if our listening audience was so inclined, this would be chapter 2 of Henry's book. So gentlemen, you want to share a little bit about what's touched you in your reading thus far in chapter 2 that pertains to this section of the younger son's journey to the far country?
Well, even though this is a parable, I do like the part where Henry Nouwen says, after he signed over his possessions to his son, the father still has rights to live off the proceeds as long as he is alive. So that was probably, as a fact, probably back in those days, the father still had a right to live off the proceeds. And then, interesting to find, I myself have been reading the Bible pretty much my whole life, but in this book, I actually just noticed it said, I am speaking here about a spiritual leaving home. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know whether he... Like, because the stories in the Bible, it's hard for me to decide which ones are factual, which ones are like a parable. Like, I don't know, but he didn't actually leave home like that. Henry Nouwen says about a spiritual leaving home. So I guess that means like every time you like, not necessarily sin, but like, and I don't like to use the word victim, but I can't think of another word to use, but like if you fall victim, like jealousy, anger, lust, so what I guess that's a sin, but things like this, that is leaving your spiritual home because it's being disconnected from God. And no matter how what you've done in your life, you can always come back to God and ask for forgiveness. That's part of His unconditional love for you. He accepts you back every time. God loves you as you are, you know, not as you should be. Obviously, He wants you to be doing good and all that, but I don't think anything can separate you from the love of God, and He forgives you no matter what. And then nobody's perfect. I just think the best you can do is try not to commit the same sin over and over and over and over again. That's what I believe.
Okay, a couple things. Yeah, I think the way Henry sets up the book, he in each of these sections, section 1, 2, and 3, he he provides a if you want to say a chapter on, well, here's my insights from the Rembrandt painting over in St. Peter's, right? Petersburg. Then here's how this has really affected me. And so sure, maybe Henry himself has not wandered to a like the prodigal to a far country, but if we understand it from like a spiritual perspective, we can come to realize that, you know, far countries can be internal, not just simply external or geographical, right? I think we learn a lot more about that when we get to the elder brother, who is in a place called home, but spiritually he's not at home, right? Internally, type thing. So that is, I think it's accurate for Henry to share, because I think that coincides with what a lot of us experience, right? I mean, sure, we've, particularly those men of us here at Neighbors of Hope, we've spent some time in a literal, geographic, far country, albeit the crack house, right? Maybe the bar, right? Maybe running away to a geographical relocation, you know, another state, another city, all those things. We have those. But all of those, deep down inside, what moves us to an alternative physical location is really our dislocation internally, because we're looking for it somewhere else. And really the invitation here for Henry is, how do we go inside? Being gentle with ourselves, trusting that the Father loves us, to be honest with ourselves. And yeah, I don't think there's anybody that would argue, Mark, that sometimes when it comes to scripture study, it can be difficult, right, to distinguish between, okay, what's a parable, what's really being taught, and all those type of things. But for this point, Henry's trying to utilize this parable, much like Jesus did, to give us a theological teaching, right, that is applicable to everybody. Mm-hmm. Or what value would it really have?
It's interesting, the Augustinian quote, that our souls are restless until they find rest in you.
Right.
Really rings in this coming home metaphor. You know, I just think back through the years of the different times. Another thing that you've said in the past in our experience kind of in homeless ministry is where how Jesus loves us enough to come get us. Like, yes, we return home, but Jesus comes to get us out of the dope house at times too. That's amazing to me. Like, that level of, like, I've willingly came home and kind of given sin up, and then I willingly have God be like, this season is done too. You know, I mean, it's amazing the amount of just, you feel redeemed in a whole new level that way, I guess. The feeling of coming home in that is amazing.
Yeah, and here we say that we don't really see Jesus as a Purell, right? killing 99% or 99.9% of all bacteria.
Right.
But Jesus is actually the one that jumps down in the gutter with us. Amen. And holds our hand, mm-hmm, as we walk out. I think when we get to the point of the homecoming, the geographical homecoming, after the prodigals had all those negative experiences, suffered all those consequences, you know, fearful of even coming home, to be a hired slave of his father, right? And then what's he encounter? That mercy, that compassion, that love. Sometimes we all, almost to some degree, need to experience that sense of leaving, experiencing the far country, in order to really experience the depth of God's compassion, mercy, and love. All right?
So. You know, I think my coming home so far has been really dealing with Rich's junk.
Your junk?
My junk.
Okay.
My junk. You know, my, so to speak, my inner issues.
Right.
Right. You know,
and knowing and learning that God is there. Jesus is there. God is there to hug me and love me unconditionally. You know what I mean? You know, realizing that brokenness. You know, realizing that, like we've been you know, learning transparency, honesty, you know, being true to self. You know, I think that's, you know, and I'm seeing Jesus on the other side saying, this way, Rich, you know, every day. You know, my journey is a daily basis.
Sure.
And I've had to do it like that because it's easy for me to stir off course. You know, it's easy for me to let my struggles get in the way of my transformation.
So let me interrupt you there, because Henry does talk a little bit about that. What does Henry speak about as far as what kind of attracts us to get off our square, to go the other way, toward the far country?
Worldly things. Selfish desires.
Familiarity. The other voices.
No.
You remember? For example, in a culture that has an economy such as ours, sometimes, you know, we say the loudest voice we hear is "buy me." Mm-hmm. Some of that is, if you have this kind of cologne on, if you drive this kind of car, you wear these kind of clothes, right? You'll be a better person. And we kind of hear that voice. We have those internal voices, like, you know, does anybody love me? Does anybody even like me? You know, why am I always feeling rejected? Right? There's just a million and one other voices that beckon our attention. To some degree, I agree with you, Mark, that we can call it selfishness, but part of what we're really looking in them, right, as far country, is what we really want in God. All right? And so the spiritual disciplines help us discern the one true voice that says, "You're my beloved son." Right? The same voice that speaks to Jesus when he comes up from his baptism is a voice that we have to discipline ourselves, one, to hear. Secondly, once we hear it, we have to trust it. Thirdly, we have to work on clinging to it. So we have to filter out some of all the other voices, all the other noise, right? And that's challenging. And Henry speaks about it. He himself, you know, experiences that, as successful as he was and what have you. And I think we need to do likewise. And I think when we do, Mark, look at, in a sense, all the gospel narratives about the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, he listens to one voice. He doesn't care what the religious establishment thinks about him. He doesn't care what Rome thinks about him. He doesn't even really care too much about what the disciples, right? After all, they reject him. They abandon him, right? They betray him, all these things. And it doesn't change him, right? And that becomes, as you're saying, Richard, real life, every day, daily, right? Daily, somebody's going to say something that may upset me. Daily, somebody may do something. I try to practice a gesture of kindness, and I interpret it as not being well received. Now, why are they rejecting me, right? I mean, we encounter these simple things, right? Think of all the stresses, financial stresses. Oh, I really need to get my checkbook balanced. I got to get more income. All these things that we seem to think... It really is, as you said, with Augustinian thought, you know, our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in you. We can hear these voices thinking we're going to find rest there. All right, any closing thoughts here, gentlemen?
I think, we have to look at, sometimes it's a good time to look at the prodigal son is, you know, look at the time you were the prodigal son, and then sit back and think about the moment where you, that could have switched and you could have still been on that path, and then you decided to come back home. Because it's so simple, because we talk about that fear of being rejected so many times, that if you came home and nobody was there to throw you that party, how easy it was to go back into the wilderness again, go back out there into, you know, searching again, because you just, you've been rejected. And I think that's what we'll, when we move into the Father, you're going to see that, that that's the Father. He probably wasn't liking that his son wanted to take off and take his stuff and go, but he had to let him kind of move forward, let him do his thing, and then be here to celebrate him when he came back.
Yeah.
Because his son remembered that. His, you know, his son had a linking of what he was raised as. So he'll come back.
Yeah, yeah. So there are all these voices that draw us into the far country. And it's interesting when we get enough time behind us, I mean, when we get to that section, what really has him return to his father? Hunger. The pigs eat better than I do. And when, by the time you get home, it's almost as if when you, and you have that loving embrace, it's almost as if you're saying, if it weren't for the hunger, I'd have never come this direction. Okay. We'll stop on that thought. How was that? Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate all of your insights in this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.